Spoiler alert. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Seriously. Did you just take a bite of food as I was doing the introduction? You hate me, don't you?
Well, I don't know this whole podcast. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, just no love. You are a problem child. I'm telling you, y'all love Carl, but he's a diva.
Nutrition is important.
Seriously. Okay. Anyway. Today we're going to talk about Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. What? No.
Awesome.
Did you ever think you'd hear that introduction for Game of Thrones?
You hardcore girl. That's all I'm saying. That is straight from the projects. Game of Thrones.
Seriously, I've never lived in the projects. It's insults project people. Anyway. Okay, so, yeah, I didn't want to watch this show at all when I first heard about it because, you know, I'm sick of Middle Earth. This looked like it was smack dab in the middle of Earth. We're going to have some hobbits. I didn't want a long, drawn-out thing. I don't know. I was just not into it. Then I think they released the first, 15 minutes online, which was the first 15 minutes of the episode, the first of the pilot. Sold. Totally sold. Totally changed my mind. I mean, this thing is high quality. I just didn't expect that quality from TV, and I fell in love instantly. How'd you feel about going up? Had you heard of Game of Thrones prior to it, and how did you feel about watching it at first?
Well, it came out at the same time as Camelot, right? Camelot came out, Game of Thrones came out. There seemed like to be this, you know, swath of the same kind of shows rolling out, and especially them being on cable. I had an expectation that the quality was going to be better, but you know, I'm not going to say I was tired of Middle Earth. You know, I'm always a fan of that kind of stuff. But I was, you know, I was like, well, I'm probably only going to watch one of these. You know, they're all
what
of these.
What made you think that?
Well, because there were a bunch of them and I wasn't really pressed to see, you know, getting tied up in a whole bunch of different ones. So, you know, I just wanted to see. I watched Camelot. I watched Game of Thrones. Both of them, I was actually blown away with the quality right away. I was like, man, these are like movies in terms of what. And then the cast, you know, come on. You literally have folks from Lord of the Rings wandering around in Game of Thrones. I was like, wait a minute now.
Sean Bean.
Yeah. Right there, I'm trying to keep the separation, you know, like you said, from Lord of the Rings, to try to keep things straight. You see him in there. But the story of Game of Thrones started pulling me in right away, and I got a little bit more excited. You know, I like getting away. I like seeing, you know, I like Middle Earth. I like, you know, all that old stuff. So
it's just that I'm burnt out on it. I mean, it's like for like 4 years straight, I went to the, what do you call it, Renaissance Festival, made costumes, did the whole thing, watched Lord of the Rings hundreds of times. It's just like, oh, my God, saturation point is here.
No, such thing.
I wore myself out. So,
well, when I saw the quality of what it was that they were great. I mean, shoot, just the opening credit, that clockwork empire thing they got going on. Is that not the most beautiful thing?
Beautiful.
I mean,
after 10 episodes, you get a little tired of it, but just seeing it for the first time, blown away.
Yeah. I said, okay, they're serious. When you see something like that, you're like, okay, they're serious about what they're doing.
The scene in winter with the wall, when I saw those guys in the first scene come down the corridor and out through the front gates of the wall, and then they pull back wide shot of the snow and the wall, I was like, oh my God, we're getting some quality. I feel like I am robbing somebody. I need to pay somebody some money. I mean, I'm already paying for what is it? It's HBO. Yeah, so I'm already paying for HBO. So it's like, I felt like I owed somebody more money because it's just that beautiful.
It is really, really pretty. So just to get started, I was feeling encouraged by the casting. I was feeling encouraged by the quality of what I saw. And so that just primed me to say, okay, now let's see if they have any kind of story going on.
And what do you think so far?
I'm loving it. I love Game of Thrones. Okay, so, I mean, like I said,
let's just get into it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're ready to handle Game of Thrones here. Because, you know, you and I, we have trouble keeping the name straight on the cast of SGU.
Gosh.
So, you know, trying to...
No, because they were boring.
Well, the true... True, but there also wasn't like, what, 25 of them? You know, that you got, yeah. Seriously, the main cast. I'm just talking about the main cast. I'm not talking about those, you know, peripheral orbital folks that come in and out. I'm just the core team that we run with from episode two. That's about 25 people.
Let's go. I mean, we'll rock it like we rock it. Let's say Boromir. Everybody know who Boromir is. Let's just roll it like that. Come on, that's Ed Stark. Come on,
it's
Ed Stark.
It's too many. It's too well.
Nah,
too...
come on.
We gotta try to fake it like we know who these people are.
Okay, well, let's deal with the family section because we got a whole season to have dealt. We got another episode coming this weekend.
I know it.
I thought that was the finale after what happened. Do we start backwards forward or what?
Get to that. I know.
Okay. Where do you want to start? Let's start with...
Go ahead. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Let's say we had Jason Momoa from SG Atlantis.
Yes. Okay.
I did not expect him to be on this show, and I did not expect to see him being involved in softcore porn.
Oh.
What? Are you kidding? Right?
You went right to the porn chat. You know, I was going to get to that, but you just jumped right in.
You know where my head is at.
We're seeing, as this is an HBO production, they want to be absolutely authentic to the mystical era that they have. I personally was not put off by the shall we say, beast with two back scenes repeatedly. Scattered liberally throughout the episodes. I personally feel that only adds to the quality of the episodes in a real sense of realism. The scene that you're talking about, was that sort of later on? There were a couple more scenes before that that sort of should have prepared you for what was going to go down with Rose.
The reason why I start with that is because, so we're used to seeing him being grumpy on Stargate Atlantis, right? Mm-hmm. And so we jump, he's practically a Klingon here. And I mean, seriously, he is. And the way the story is with Khaleesi, she's basically this young girl who's been, you know, run by her brother most of her life. He treats her like crap. He practically sells her to this guy. He marries her. I mean, for the first 2 months in the marriage, she was raped.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole thing. And it just, it's like, I can't look at Jason Momoa anymore. He is not hot. He is gross to me. I'm going to need some Conan to wash that off. Because gross. Because now I see it. But I like that eventually she's like, you know what? I'm in a situation. I need to survive. And she turned it around and they actually started liking each other. And we didn't have to see the uncomfortable forced sex scenes. But, you know, for as a chick seeing something like that, it was kind of disturbing, you know. And I was like, you know, I don't know if this show is for me because I don't want to see, you know, some chick being treated like that every, you know, week.
Yeah. So. Well, the thing about Game of Thrones, I mean, when we're talking about powerful stories, there is a lot to not like about the people in Game of Thrones. I mean, that is just one instance where you're looking at, okay, well, so you got the issues of, you know, okay, well, there's so many things.
Just bring it out. Bring it out.
I just, listen, I'm still a little disturbed about the breastfeeding scene.
Oh my
God.
Admit. Next, please. Because yeah. that was the episode I was like, you know what? I don't know.
Many times where I'm sitting here going, oh, they ain't had to go there. They did not have to go there with this series.
So disgusting.
They don't pull a lot of stops with the show here.
Is that incest between, what is that called? Between the brother and the sister. What is
that? Yeah. Okay. There's the incest. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff like that where you're like, really, guys, that's a little hardcore.
They're just like, you know what? Screw it. Let's dope throw it in.
They really do.
Want a rubber sink? You want somebody humping a kitchen sink? We're going to throw it in there. You know, I promise you we're going to see that.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So, you know, you just got to, you get, it's HBO, it's adult, we know going in, you know, that's how they're going to do it. That's how they roll in Game of Thrones.
Watching True Blood kind of softened the blow of some of these things because I never watched like the adult shows on HBO, the, you know, premium cables prior to True Blood. So I wasn't used to, you know, people just hanging it all out. Well, with the exception of Carnival. But prior to that, I just didn't watch because I didn't like that type of stuff, you know. But
well, you just jumped in head first here.
Right, I'm just like, well, you know, I'm, you know, numb to it now. It's just like, oh yeah, okay, great. That's whatever.
Well, but so, so yeah, I agree. It is disturbing. Like, there's a lot disturbing about Game of Thrones, and I think that they do tend to walk the edge there, but. It's compelling. They do it in a way that is compelling, and that's part of the artistry of this series, because it's so easy to take something like that and just do it for shock value.
Yeah.
You know, but somehow they are able to maintain a realism. I don't know. I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for. A mood where it all seems to fit together. You know,
authenticity of the period, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's, you know, we've got this fictional stuff going on.
Yeah,
you know, but it's certain. There's a certain, you know, angst or dread about the era where everyone's just got to deal with the situation they're in. You know, you got eunuchs, you got, you know, bastards. You know, you got the little guy. Everybody's got crap that they're trying to deal with here. And so there's this just, you know, tangible pain that overlays everything, and it helps you to see why they lead to the decisions that they make. It helps to make it clear why they are, how they're trying to cope with the situations that they're in. So, you know, any other series or any other place, if it was more poorly written, it would just be the shock value. It would just be, it's here, it's in your face, oh. But everything that we've seen so far really does put each character in a very strong, realistic context that helps us understand why they are who they are and what they're dealing with. So that's why, you know, I'm like, that's part of what makes it so strong and so powerful as a series, and why, you know, I hang with it even though they'll throw something like that up at your face. You're like, oh, God, all right, okay, oh, I see gross. That. Now let's see what they're trying to tell us about this. You know, why do I need to see this right now?
Well, yeah, because we know that the Dothraki, they're on a mission to somewhere. They keep rotting. And I guess, here we go. King Robert was, you know, thinking that they were, the Dothraki is not going to come across some sort of, I guess, land of water, because they don't know how. They can't swim, they don't use boats, blah, 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 so they have that protection. But we see, what we see of the Dothraki, they keep going. They're like on a mission to somewhere. And when they get there, we don't know what the hell is going to happen. All hell going to break loose. They're going to get to the edge of the earth and just stand there. Well, I think they're getting on some boats, and I think some ass is going to be kicked somewhere.
Well, see, I mean, but okay, so we're dealing with the complexities of the story now. Originally, the Dothraki had that whole kind of, you know, Viking conquering kind of thing, where they didn't have a lot of discipline. They didn't have a lot of direction. They were just tearing up mess. You know, they were going, they were looking for women, they were looking for booty, they were looking for, you know, everything and land and running around.
Of the word.
Yeah, right, there you go. You know, and just sort of taking stuff over. Lloyd, what's that guy's name? The blondie guy, Prince Targaryen, the Prince Targaryen, you know, the blonde guy, the brother guy.
I'm scrolling, trying to figure out his name. Viserys, or, Targaryen.
Yeah, Prince Targaryen.
That's his last
name. Anyway,
he
struck that deal with the Dothraki. So, you know, what I'm saying is, I don't think the Dothraki had much of a plan before. I think they were just running around, you know, getting what they could. And so when the Targaryens started showing up in their world, you know, the Prince Targaryen, he wanted to try to marshal the forces of the Dothraki to start something, either with the Baratheon, or, well, I just think he wanted his own little empire.
What happened was, King Robert took over Prince Targaryen, or whatever, Beggar King Targaryen's homeland, killed everybody. And so that left him, Targaryen and Khaleesi, stranded, and they didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't have any people. They didn't have any, you know, power. So what happens is Targaryen, yeah, like you said, struck that deal.
And I think that once they struck the deal with the Dothraki and Targaryen, Prince Targaryen, really started trying to start something. You know, he's trying to, you know, control the Dothraki and trying
he's trying to control him so he can get his land back.
Yes, but the point is if he wasn't involved, I think, well, you know, the Baratheon, King Baratheon and his crew, and the Dothraki, nothing would have happened. I think the Dothraki just would have stayed in their little landlocked area, milling around in circles, pillaging. And Baratheon would have, you know, continued to expand his empire or, you know, well, actually, he wasn't even caring about expand. He just wanted to mind his own business and get rich. That's about, you know, because Baratheon was just chilling. He's chasing pigs. He's got his wife, women, and his drink. He was happy. He was happy. But see, it's the Targaryens that got in there starting stuff up, and they are going to spark, you know, the chaos between the Dothraki. Because remember, what's Drogo? Khal Drogo, really, he had his own little, you know, simple plan. He was minding his own business. But it wasn't until Prince Targaryen, you know, they had that little disagreement with the crown incident that got him upset enough to say, you know what? I think I can do this. You know what? Forget that water. I'm going to get my woman a crown. You know, I'm going to get my woman a throne. And before, like I said, before it was like, oh, we don't want to go in the water. We're just happy here. He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to see what's over the water now. This fool, if he can rule stuff, it's on now. I got my girlfriend, my wife here. I got rid of this annoying dude. Let's do this. So now, you know, now he's motivated. And so, you know, what's her name? Daenerys, the princess Targaryen. She's like, oh, crap, what's going down now? You know, maybe I know I'm going to bring up some dragons. I know, you know, I like my man now, but this might be a little bad where things are going.
Well, so. Yeah, now it is bad because, you know, jumping towards the end, Rogo got, what is his name?
Drogo?
Khal Drogo, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got scratched and now he's infected by, like, you know.
He better not die. That's all I'm saying.
He's infected with an invisible thing that he can't fight because he didn't clean his wounds properly and now they're festering. And
Drogo better not die.
It sounded like he was in there making love to the horse and the gypsy lady with I don't know what.
Just little horse blood. But no, because, you know, the main reason I don't want him dead yet is because he has only said like 5 words in the entire series.
That's because they don't want him to talk. He's pretty, but man, when he started talking, you want to shut it down.
I would like for him to say more than 5 words before
he's dead.
I'm good
with just the 5 words because, you know.
You are so wrong. All right. So, appreciating the interpersonal dynamics of what a soap opera is about. You know, if we're talking about, if we're talking about watching the motivations of individuals, that is that's a hard thing to do on a small scale and be interesting. Okay, so if you're a fan of soap operas, if you watch soap operas, I don't really that much. But, you know, I was forced to as a youth. But the point is, you know, you got to have a lot of people in them to make the interpersonal relationship or the interpersonal conflicts interesting. Otherwise, it's just, you know, back and forth between 2 or 3 characters. Mm-hmm. It is one of the challenges that I'll say some more recent series that we have seen have had a problem with because either the people were not particularly interesting. The cast wasn't large enough to maintain, you know, an interesting dialogue between, you know, the motivations of characters.
I'm trying not to say
Star. I'm speaking in general. Or, you know, more importantly, there wasn't a realistic context that would explain the behaviors of the people.
Yes. Most definitely.
So, again, when we're talking about Game of Thrones, we're joking around. Seriously, there are like 25 main people that we see here. And what
and
is
they're
going
not shy on? About killing people either.
No, man, I ain't ready for that. So, okay. So, again, if we were to talk about some other series that we have seen.
Let's not.
I'm just speaking in general. I'm not naming any names. But, you know, when they introduce someone on the show. In a single episode, they introduce a character that we've never seen before. There is a growing attachment between that character and the main cast of the series. And then by the end of the episode, that character is dead. We are supposed to have felt a strong connection. We are supposed to have had an emotional response to, oh, this person's girlfriend or this person's new guy is dead. Now we are upset as the viewers. We, as intelligent viewers, are tired of that crap.
Yeah.
We can see it coming a mile away.
Red
Half
shirt.
The time we're laughing and we're going, oh, we know this person ain't even going to make it through the episode, right?
Yeah.
Try that with Game of Thrones. You'd be sitting here watching it, and you all know who I'm talking about now. You'd be sitting here watching it going, oh, this dude's the star of the show.
You know, let's go ahead and go there. Let's go there with Sean Bean.
Can't jump right to it now. I mean, we got the histories, everything, but all right,
okay,
fine.
We don't have to jump to it,
he's not the only one, though.
I did not expect Targaryen to go. Prince Targaryen.
No, he had plenty of evil left in him. He had plenty. I was dying to see what kind of crap he was going to. I couldn't believe it when he did. I was hoping that maybe they'd do like a Phantom of Opera thing, you know, where he'd come back with a hat full. And I was dying for him.
He's a Destro or something.
Thank you. So that mess hurts because these characters, we've had time to get to know them. We've had time to either like them or hate them.
I didn't shed a tear, though. You know, it was time because he was just out of control.
I wanted to see him start some bigger stuff. I really, really wanted to see him start.
But isn't it more interesting that Khaleesi would be, it's left to her now.
Well, that's good. But I think if they had a battle between them, that could have been fun, too.
Yeah, but he don't command that respect, though. They didn't respect him.
I think being a sniveling, bitter person that keeps coming back out of the woods with, you know, random catastrophes at just the right moment. Because he was smart. He was shrewd. You know, so right about the time that things were going, you know, getting to, they were about to step in the water, then, you know, like, Prince Targaryen would come up and fake like he's a monster and scare all the Dothraki. I don't know. Something like that. You know, he's just really jacking mess up. But I'm really getting attached and interested in all of the characters of Game of Thrones. I mean, even the secondary. All right. Remember Master Ludwin? You're like, who in the world is this?
Who is that?
You remember? I think that's what his name was. You remember the crow keeper on the crow keeper, the blind crow keeper on the wall, you know, on the ice wall, the watchman guy.
Oh.
Now, we've seen him, you know, kind of quietly meandering around in the background. He looked like he was kind of wise, you know, but he was always kind of interesting. We've seen him in maybe 3 episodes, right? Then he busts out. Turns out he is what, like runner-up for the crown or something?
Oh, you're talking about, oh, yeah, Master Loom. Okay. Yeah,
is that what his name was?
Yeah, that's right. Guys, we have to look at a chart to remember people's names. That's what
a
we're doing
chart.
Right now.
I got three charts. I got 3 of them.
I have a character guide. I have a chart and an episode guide. It's hard keeping these people together. Okay, I'm sorry.
And I think that's right because, you know,
it is Master Lewin.
Okay, is that him?
That is him.
So you know, he always seemed like sort of a wise, kind of quiet guy. And then all of a sudden, you get just in this last episode that, oh, by the way, I was run up for a king, and I got stuck here just like you guys. Sucks. You know, I mean, you were really, you're like,
I was shocked. Yeah.
Everybody has got a story here, and an interesting one, an interesting story. Yeah. So, okay, so, all right.
Jon Snow. Let's go with the bastard.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, what a horrible life.
Yeah, well, it happened.
I mean, he's so handsome and strong and honorable. And I understand how mom is just don't want to see him and she resents him. But good night. She treated him horribly.
Yeah.
Catelyn Stark. And so he was like, screw it. I'd rather be, you know, with the White Walkers on the wall than be here with your crap. So, I liked his interaction with Tyrion Lannister. He is
Peter Dinklage. Okay.
So,
I
feel sorry for him. I hope he doesn't die, but you never really know. They're playing Lost rules here.
Darn right.
They'll just kill somebody. I mean, what do you think about him and his lineage or what, you know, I think what's going to happen is they're going to kill all those Starks off and he's going to be one who left to rule Winterfell or whatever.
Well, he does have the honorable credentials. I mean, in terms of being noble to handle that. That, I mean, that's the kind of fun hero's tale that we like to see. You know, the bastard son that nobody paid any attention to rose through the ranks from, you know, the serf, fought at the wall, and now comes back to claim the kingdom. That, I mean, that makes for a good story.
It does.
But perhaps that's too predictable for Game of Thrones. You know, that would be a classic hero's journey, and we've only got 24 other characters to deal with in the meantime.
Well, Robb Stark, who's leading the war now, he grew some balls.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew a good pair, and they're hanging in there big.
For the most part, those Starks are pretty noble. I mean, I like the Starks as a whole. Everybody except Sansa. You know, little redhead daughter. Everybody except her got some issues. But no, the Starks are pretty strong, just in general. I like them as a house. I think they are interesting. But again, you know, it's the situation that they're in. We don't know what's going to happen. And you look at who they are, and then you look at the people who really have the authority and who really have the power, and you're like, oh man, that's just not even fair. That is not even right.
So. Oh, so we want to talk about Sarah Connor. Cersei.
Yeah, she...
Wow, she is...
She's harsh. Those Lannisters, boy, you got to watch them.
Because you kind of want to like Tyrion, because he seems to be the smartest one with the most sense. But I'm pretty sure if he was, you know, like Jaime Lannister, he'd be, you know, more of a dick like that as well. But
he's been through some crap. That's why he's real.
Yeah.
He accepts himself completely, you know, in terms of not just being a little person, but in terms of being a little freaky. You know, he's just down with it.
And
he's like, hey, that's me. Y'all gonna have to get used to it. But the fact is, because he's so real, I think, you know, he is the easiest character I think to relate to.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is tied up in all of this, you know, nobility houses and all this proper behavior and all this other stuff. Tyrion is the only one that is really real in the whole series.
Well, I mean, he uses it to his advantage in, you know, like trying to save his life like that. The Lannisters always pay their debts. But
well, they do. But they actually do.
Yeah, they do. But he's used that to his advantage, and he knows how to play people, and that's why he's still alive, and I really appreciate that. So, yeah. I see where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah, but he's probably my favorite on the series. I mean, it's an easy choice, but he's just so much fun to watch. You said his interaction was interesting with Snow. His interaction was interesting with everybody. Tyrion is hanging with is going to be somehow bettered by the exchange.
I think we like him because he smacked up Prince Joffrey.
That was funny. That was funny.
He needed that smack, especially what he did in the latest episode, which we'll get to soon.
Yeah.
But is Jaime Lannister and Cersei, are they half brother and sister or something? I mean, I don't understand how this love making happened between her and him. No, it's her twin brother. Gross.
Really? I didn't know. Really? They're twins?
Dude, look at the chart. It says twin brother of Queen Cersei and heir to Casterly World.
You see, there's a lot to be disturbed about here in Game of Thrones. You just have to roll with it.
It started in the womb. They were like, ooh. Okay, gross. Okay, my brain is hurting.
There you
okay.
go.
Brain is hurting. So we see an impending doom with the Dothraki plowing down on either, well, I guess...
the Baratheon Kingdom?
The Lannister Kingdom, yeah.
And
we see that Winterfell is, I guess, the sidekick or something, like the backup plan. But then we have what I really want to talk about is the White Walkers.
All right.
That is what brought me in to this story is because it had a little mystical element. Because if it was just going to be, you know, as the world turns in Middle Earth, I was going to be pissed, and that's why I didn't want to watch it. It kind of turned out to be that way because, you know, we're not dealing with the White Walkers every week, which I'm kind of disappointed with because, I mean, it's what drew me in. It has a little mystery. We don't understand what's going on with them. Is there a virus? Are they asleep? As said, when winter comes, which they've been saying the whole damn series, which it looks like winter's already there, but I guess they mean winter, winter. I mean, are they going to rise? How do they rise? What is the mechanic of their rising? Is there a curse? You know, is there a scientific reason? How are they going to do it? You know?
Well, yeah, I'm with you that I miss them. I mean, it was the pilot episode that we first saw them, and it did give us a feel that this was going to be a, it was going to have a strong supernatural component to it.
Right.
In terms of that, what our expectations were from the first episode is a little bit different than what we have seen. But the only defense I got for them is the conflict and the chaos that they have brought down on the series is so interesting that because you think about it, we've got houses about to go to war, multiple houses about to. I'm not even talking about Drogo. We got stuff happening with, you know, Lannister's crew.
Well, yeah,
we got
recently, stuff, yeah.
You know, all of this stuff's going down. Which, given the new context, excuse me, given the original context, we could consider infighting, because then these people are going to have to pull it together to fight some kind of zombie vampires, snow zombies or something. It's funny because, like I said, I enjoy the them building these contexts in which all this stuff is going on, but the just from the beginning. Just like what's his name? Peter Baelish or whatever the guy said from the start. He said, you know, do not believe anything that I say. You cannot trust me. And they tell you that right at the beginning, right?
Right.
The first threat that we see in this series is the, what are they called? The White Walkers? Who the people? Yeah. The first threat that we see in this series is the White Walkers. And we haven't seen anything. You know, we heard somebody got touched. Okay, they shot a zombie, you know, in the
well,
chamber.
Well, recently, they brought in two dead bodies. The guy who has the nose was like, they don't smell like death. They smell like chicken. And that's then
I said, that's two episodes, though. That's literally like two episodes.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, you know, all this infighting and all of the intrigue and danger that we are perceiving amongst the, you know, the quote humans in all of this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, oh, by the way, all of that is still, you got one more arc that we got to deal with. They're going to have to do something about all this chaos about to come out of the winter. So it's a wonderful, complex, you know, layered arcs that are going on here. It's great.
But if they, you know, keep the White Walkers out for too much, it's like, how do they then fit into the story? Because we're so caught up in all this other crap that's going on.
See, that's the fun of Game of Thrones. Just when you think things couldn't get worse. You know, you say that about Game of Thrones. Just when you think everything is all right, and okay, now I know. Bam, somebody's gone. Bam, you know, a kingdom falls. Oh, man, dad's gone. You know, just everything.
Somebody got good at it.
Something is going to jack up what little bit of peace that you have. And I'm telling you, that's the one that pulls the rug out from under everybody. Like I said, all these wars, these people are battling between their kingdoms. And honestly, if it's going the way it's looking, these kingdoms are going to have to unite in order to defend themselves against the White Walkers.
Nah, they're going to unite just enough to throw somebody in front of them so they can be the one running.
Well, that's
you know, just run faster than the slowest person and you escape the bear.
You're probably right about
right.
that.
Right. So, I mean, I know that's what they're going to do, but go ahead.
There is one other quote Easter egg that we probably ought to address here.
Okay, let's do it.
She is the last line in the kingdom of dragons. She has three dragon eggs in her possession. Three dragon eggs, which of course are only ornamental. There's no way that they could ever actually hatch in the series because they are just a symbol of her throne or her what used to be her throne.
Well, I'm going to shut you down because they have dragon bones and they have stories of dragon and she has the egg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think those dragons are going to... Oh, God, when dragons come, if dragons... Because you know what? I just hated dragons for a long time. It's like, oh, there's a dragon. Oh, fuck, I don't want to watch this mess. You know, but for some reason, they're leading up to the dragon, and I'm excited about the dragon.
Yeah, let's go. So, you know, we've been... If they go crazy supernatural on this, I mean, like I said, we got the White Walkers and we have not really seen what they can do. I mean, in terms of...
I think we've seen enough. Yeah.
No. What I mean is, in terms of how far the series is willing to go to show us the effects that are involved with something supernatural. You know, I don't, if they're always going to be, you know, M. Night kind of mysticism where people get pulled into the woods or, you know, it's basically, you know, a little zombie wants to action, that's fine. But if there is some, you know, like some phantom ghost mess coming out of there, you know, some crazy one, well, then the possibility of actually seeing dragons in this series would be exciting, and it would take it up a whole nother notch, because, like I said, this is based on a book series, right? On like
And I know that we'd know all of the answers if we read the book. Yeah. I don't know how close it is, but the thing about, I don't want to read the books. I want to see what they take from the books and how they put it on screen. I'm really interested in that, as far as like Harry Potter. So yeah, the books are fine, but I want to see how somebody takes that book and put it on screen and makes it magical. And I think they're doing that with HBO. No, I don't want to read the books. No, I do not want to know the spoilers. No, I do not want to know everything.
Nope.
How everything, because I want to know this story.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. So, if they do have, and I like not knowing, because we don't know what they're going to do with the dragons. Like you said, are they going to go there? Are they going to go M. Night? I don't know. We don't know. That's exciting.
That's right. That's
is it, like I said, is the zombie mystical? Is it a curse? Is it just, you know, let's go regular infection? How does that work here?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Black Death? Is it, I mean, what is it?
Yeah, I love it if they really pulled out some crazy, you know, special effect kind of paranormal action. Here, something, you know, give me a monster, give me something. I can tolerate it if it's just fast moving zombies running around, you know, people. That's fine, because the series is interesting. But man, if on top of all of the layered stories, on top of all of the character development, on top of the richness that we have seen in terms of the conflict between these people, if they can break out some real special effects and give us something scary and supernatural. That is really going to put this scene.
Yeah, it does. But you know what I fear? I fear. Did you watch the first season of the Desperate Housewives?
No.
Okay, I watched the first season of it because it felt, it had like a little mystery to it. It seemed like it wanted to hint at having a supernatural thing to it. It felt Twin Peakish in some episodes. And they did all of that very creative things in the Desperate Housewives in the first season that really, you know, held people interest. And the second season, they threw it all away and became a soap opera. So they don't really have that mystery anymore.
Right.
But
right.
What I hope is that they don't pull that where it's just, you know, all infighting and, you know, boring. And I mean, it's not boring so far. I mean, I'm really surprised that it held my interest with what it's doing now. And I'm glad it did, you know, but
the characters are just so interesting. Like I said, I mean, really, we got about 25 main folks that we're talking about here. And each and every one makes sense. Each character really, they're not, you know, bottle people that through something that they said has defined who they are. Everybody, you can tell how they act, who their siblings are, what their station is. You really can get a feel for each character and what they're up to. That's a radical thing when it comes to watching TV shows, you know, and sitting down and not having that heavy-handedness of I am the hero now and I am about to go to battle. It's refreshing, and it's good to see that.
I think Camelot kind of suffers from that.
Yeah, okay. See, I've only seen like two of them, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't go into that, but okay, well, I'm just going to shut it down on Camelot then.
Okay.
But it's still very good. I say still watch it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, can I get into somebody else that I like a lot on the show?
Do it.
I like little Arya Stark. The needle girl. The needle girl. She is cool. I mean, when she had her little disagreement with what's his name? Baratheon Joffrey.
Yeah.
First of all, if you want to talk about how unfair things are, remember the poor boy that was just playing swords Arya?
Man.
You know, he was just out there. They were playing around. They were the same age.
Minding his own business.
He clearly, you know, wasn't real high in station. But, you know, he's just out there playing. And then to have Joffrey come in there and what went down between them just so he could cover up his little cut. That was the saddest thing.
That was
horrible. And the wolf, come on, how you gonna kill a wolf? The wolves are cool, man. You can't be killing off the wolves.
He's a coward. He's a baby. He's spoiled. He's just the worst type of man diva that you'd ever want to see. I mean, he has no honor, no backbone. To get your sword knocked out of your hand by a little girl and have her.
To be fair, she is quite good, though.
That's before she was taking lessons.
Doesn't matter. She had the natural talent is why. Remember, he made her the sword.
But still, she's younger. She's a girl. And, you know, there was no excuse for the little guy, like you said, to just get killed because he offended this nutless little boy's ego. That is like my pet peeve is weak men. And I can't stand. I mean, he's going to grow up into just a total asshole. And that guy, the actor. Mm-hmm. Awesome. How can you play an asshole like that? Isn't it right?
Yeah, he's bringing it, right? He is really, really bringing it. So, but I like her and her little bouts with Inigo Montoya, yeah. You know?
You killed my father, prepare to die.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that was just really pretty. Those two going back and forth together. Come on, how you gonna kill off Montoya? That mess is
did they kill him?
They
closed the door and we heard ruckus. I think dude was still kicking ass with his wooden sword. Really?
Half a wooden sword. Remember, because he got broke off. But I hope he's not, because he was such an interesting. I mean, like I said, when you see a character pop up in a series and they have that much life. I mean, he was literally, again, only in two episodes. That much life, that much wisdom, and he was just that genuinely interesting. You don't want him to disappear that quickly.
I think that dude is going to pop up.
I hope so.
I hope he's going to pop up with his crazy hair and say hello, you know, something weird. But yeah, I think Arya is a very, you know, vulnerable little girl. She's bucking tradition because she doesn't want to wear dresses. She doesn't want to be like her sister is, and I think part of it is her sister, because her sister is so obnoxious, you know.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't want to be like that, and she knows that. I mean, she truly believes winter is coming. You gotta take care of yourself. So, I think she has a bit of her mom in her.
Oh shoot! I think she's got more of her dad in her.
Her mom is pretty. You know, she'll go and dig in the dirt. I mean, she'll go and confront people and talk crazy to people. You know, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, she just seems to have a natural nobility about her. I mean, you know, in terms of she's sincere, she's just like, that doesn't seem fair. I don't know what's going on. Just let me be me.
Yeah.
All of that. She's just fun to watch. I like her. And of course, what's the boy's name? Bran?
Bran.
You see how we can just go character by character.
He was going to be major. I thought he was going to be a major main character, and he got taken out early, really.
What do you mean taken out? How you figure that?
I mean, he can't really walk around. He can't do anything.
That in this show, I have a sneeze. That don't mean nothing. I don't think he's taken out at all. I don't think he's taken out at all.
Taken down a bit because, you know, he was just so, you know, cute to watch and look at. And then, you know, just because he saw nasty Cersei and Jaime together, he lost his legs pretty much. I mean, he can ride a horse now thanks to the contraption, thank goodness, you know, because he's gonna
Tyrion hooking him up.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna be important in the future. Not only that, there is still that mystical connection between the Starks and the wolf too.
I love it.
You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but I have a feeling they don't let stuff go in this series. That there is something powerful about their connection with the wolf. You see, again, they brought it up again with the Snow and the sword, all of that stuff. Something about that is going to be significant in the future. But I just think those Starks as a whole are pretty powerful, and they're going to be big, you know, real big in terms of the fate of the series.
And this is how you build a first season. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot going on, and it feels kind of overwhelming, but what we're doing is we're getting to know all of these 85 characters, you know, and like the first seasons of some, you know, TV shows, they try to do what Game of Thrones is doing now, but they don't do it correctly. This is how you do it, and this is how you tell a story and you stretch it out, but you put so much into it that it's really rich and memorable, and it hits hard with every story. I think this is just fantastic the way it's paced, produced, the shock value. They don't really need it, in my opinion, but, you know, have at it. I just don't want to see the mom and son thing again.
Ooh.
And because Bodhi to the max. Let's go. You want to get to the meat, or you got somebody else?
Yeah, okay. Let's just get on to the meat, and then
let's
jump
get to
around
the meat.
How
does it happen? What? When I saw that Sean Bean was going to be the star of this HBO TV show, my first thing, you know what? That dude's going to die.
You thought
I
that?
Said, yeah. I said, he's too expensive. He's going to die.
Well, that might have been the smart gamble then. Because the thought of expense didn't even cross my mind. I figured they were just trying to,
Not only that, I said it out loud, and then somebody who didn't know that I haven't read it say, oh yeah, that's in the books.
Oh.
I was so pissed because I was just, you know, blah blah blah, and but yeah, I had that kind of ruined and confirmed for me pretty early. But I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew it was, but I wasn't really sure because, you know, I take people's, you know, what they say with a grain of salt, but
right.
Yeah, I just figured, you know, that's Sean Bean. Everybody else is not movie, except for Lena Headey. She's pretty big, but she was in Sarah Connor. And everybody else is not really on his level of actor. You know what I'm saying? So I just didn't think they'd keep him around.
Oh, that's too bad.
What was your...
What was my reaction?
I mean, what was your reaction, but I mean, how did you think that... I mean, you really didn't predict that he was gonna...
It did not even cross my mind. I figured that, you know, they were paying the extra money to get a headliner.
Right.
A keystone character that they were going to have the series built around.
Right.
So I figured, you know, yes, he may have been a little bit more expensive. Honestly, the thought didn't cross my mind about the money. But in terms of casting, I figured, wow, they got to pick somebody really big to be the star of Game of Thrones. Hey, this guy, of course, from Lord of the Rings, you're going to get this dude. He fits in perfectly. So I was totally unprepared for him dying. I wasn't ready.
I didn't either because they was like, well, you're going to spare my father. He didn't really know what he was doing. Even crazy Cersei was like, yeah, spare this dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, even Cersei agreed with that. And, you know, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
He went against, you, women are weak, so let's decapitate him now.
Stupid. That was stupid. Yeah, Joffrey is not making any friends, I'm going to tell you.
He's not making any friends, but really, it was the right thing to do. Seriously. Nope. I mean, we liked Ed Stark. We liked him because he's our guy, right? But
You mean in terms of preserving his kingdom, it was the right thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, because, I don't know, I really took a liking to him. You know, he had honor, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think he's still paying for taking the ring, trying to take the ring from Frodo. So,
stop it. Well, wait. When you say it was the right thing to do, you mean it was the right thing for...
I think Joffrey did the right thing. If you're a king and you have a strong enemy like Ed Stark, and you're trying to... He already doesn't respect the House of Stark or Winterfell. And what better way to you know, ruin the, the spirit of Winterfell is to take out their leader.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it was a smart thing for him to do. For him personally, it was the right thing to do. You don't want that type of competition, but it was the right thing to do in that situation for that moment only, because he's going to have to deal with the blowback.
Oh man, this is going to be some major blowback. I think even Sansa's going to have to wake up from that, you know, to see the guy you quote love chop your daddy's head off. That might just take a little of the sparkle off them. You know, that might just take a little bit of what she says, wow, because they had an agreement, you know, they, according to, you know, her, she thought that after they had talked that she was going to spare her father. I am very curious to see how she's going to react from now on to him. I hope she gets a little stronger. I hope she gets a little stronger after this, because that's pretty unforgivable.
It is unforgivable, but what is she gonna do? Because like right there, she just saw her father get decapitated, right?
Right. But
so what are you gonna do after you see your father get decapitated? You bastard! She needs to go to a corner, chill for a second, give herself like a few months, and then try to get the hell out of her. If she tried to leave now, he's gonna kill her too.
Right. Well, the point is, up until this point, her delusion, she could try to maintain it all this time. You know, she go, oh, everything's going to be fine. Oh, the kingdom's going to be fine. Oh, he's going to love me. Everything's going to be. She could maintain that delusion, as crazy as it was.
Yeah, it was up crazy. I didn't even believe it.
I am hoping, because I'm very curious. Now, I mean, we see a lot of women that get themselves in a situation with a powerful guy, and they don't have any choices. We see that happening a lot, and that's how like most of the women who are unhappy in Game of Thrones, that's the situation that they find themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
She sort of has a choice, or she has had a choice up until this point. Let's see what she does as a result of this, because if she, at least now she has the knowledge, she has the information to know.
That's all she has. She can't move now.
Well, she can run. She can run.
But yeah, but if she runs at this point, she's going to be the traitor's daughter, and she's going to get decapitated.
Yeah.
He doesn't like her. We already knew that he doesn't like her. I mean, if he can make a duplicate of himself, he'd probably make love to himself, like his mom, like mother, like whatever.
Ooh.
But I'm scared for her. Mm. I think she's going to turncoat.
On who? On who?
Her family.
Which one? On the Starks?
Sansa.
Yeah, no. I mean, is she turning on the Starks, or is she turning?
She's turning on the Starks.
Oh, you think so?
I think she's gonna like get paid. I don't know what she's gonna do, because I can't read her anymore. You know, after they killed my dog or my wolf.
Yeah.
Done.
I would have been a little put out right there.
You kill my pet, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. What did wolf do? Wolf ain't not asked for that. Wolf ain't asked. Man. So.
I mean, yeah, they're animals, but you don't have to put them down like an animal. Screw that.
Huh.
They're smarter than that.
A political mess like that. No.
No. Mm-mm. But so yeah, I was totally. I didn't. So since I already kind of knew that Ed Stark was gonna die, I just didn't know it would be so soon.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
Because it was super soon. I don't know. I don't know who's gonna be next. I don't know what's gonna happen next. I think Robb Stark might die in battle. I think Jon Snow might have to come back in, because if you get rid of Robb and you got rid of Ed.
Right.
Then John is the eldest son, but if Caitlyn's still alive, then John has no right. She wouldn't put up with that. She wouldn't have it. Then you have Bronn. He's the eldest son,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Arya, because she has the biggest balls. But
I don't think they. She,
I don't know what they're gonna do. Wow.
It's a lot. You're talking about interesting dynamics or people who are fun to watch together. I like watching Jon Snow and Samwell, the coward.
Yeah.
Coward.
Yeah.
Those two just chilling at Helm's Deep, the wall of the helm there. They got a rough ride, let me tell you.
Helm's Deep.
Because it's silly. Doesn't everybody seem to go back to Helm's Deep? So every season, they seem to go back to Helm's Deep. But those two are just like at the worst possible situation. And once again, you got guy bonding, got the buddies just chilling on the edge of the town, trying to make things livable. But there's another interesting character. They brought him in there. He's the coward, but we have a feeling that, of course, he's going to grow and he's going to get stronger.
And he's going
to
die.
Well, you know, who knows? Who knows? Hopefully it won't be as simple as, oh, he's going to sacrifice himself for Jon Snow. Hopefully it won't be as simple as that. I want to see him go out, you know, with something a little bit bigger.
TV people aren't kind to heavyweight people. They're going to kill him.
Oh, come on. But isn't that predictable? Isn't that so predictable? Maybe they'll make him a king. Maybe he'll be a king. Who knows?
Well, he is kind of rightfully a king's son. So if his dad dies, maybe something.
And he redeems himself either in battle or through some noble act. Because right now, remember, they kicked him out of the house.
Right.
Dad, mom, both kicked him out of the house because they said he was too wimpy.
I know. That's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's just no love.
That's just
no love
horrible.
So if all of a sudden he shows up, you know, not only is he all, you know, oathed up and religious, because, you know, you saw him talking to the tree, so he's now part of the tree religion or whatever, and he's got his rocking, you know, wool coat and everything.
I know.
He comes back after battle, and, you know, mom and dad, they may look at him a little differently. And, oh, did I mention my mom and dad are a king? You know, so something like that could happen.
Yeah.
But they're fun to watch. Those two just cutting up.
Yeah,
and,
they do.
Just trying to make it on the wall. That's
Helm's Deep.
Okay, now, see, because I'm going back and forth between the two screens, turns out the Crow Keeper, the guy that was on the wall, is not Master Ludwin. It is Master Amian. Amian is the guy's name. The guy was kind of blind, and he was up there talking to the guy in the last episode, the old guy.
I see.
That's Master
Amian. I don't have a Helm's Deep wall.
Okay,
well, I'll just take your word for it.
Because
mine, it didn't have that guy on my little chart here. Man, we have to flip back through these people.
I told we got timelines. God. We got show guide.
Night.
Here, go here. Good. That's where
okay. Oh, at. You're on the HBO site. Yeah. Don't they have some Flash Madness that you have to get through to just to...
Hopefully not on this page.
I will put these links in the show notes because there's some good links, but it's taking forever to load. What is the deal? Anyway. Okay. This is good. This is organized.
Okay. Well, so...
Where is he?
You scroll down under the first, like, 20 of them. He's the first one. Additional characters. First one.
First additional... Ah, this guy. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Wow, there's a whole bunch of other people. Roderick Castle with the wraparound beard and the ponytail beard. He's additional characters, far right, white-haired guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That beard
pisses
me off.
Those are always handsome, aren't they?
No, they're not handsome. They upset me.
The underhandlebar. That is...
Tied with a... What is it? Oh, okay. Wow, we got some rough-looking people in these additional characters. We got somebody that... Oh, wow. Okay. So love this show. So, yeah.
What about the Hound? What's up with him?
The Hound. He just walks around looking ugly. I don't really know, like, what is he gonna do?
Yeah, but he's evil. He's like evil personified, wandering around. So we don't know what's gonna happen, but it ain't gonna be good. I can tell you right now, that dude is trouble.
He needs to put on a hat or something. He'd get more respect. An eye patch. You know, eye patches are sexy.
He's got some problems. He's got some problems.
And you know who's understated? Tywin Lannister. The head of all of them. I didn't even realize he was the head of anything. The dad?
Yeah.
The old guy dad?
Yeah, right.
It's just like until recently, I just didn't really get him. Because now, right now, he's leading the battle.
Yes, right.
But prior to that, it was just like... Barristan, right?
Right. Are you saying was leader or was
Tywin Lannister? He's like leading the battle right now. That's happening,
right?
In the tents and stuff.
Okay.
But
right,
prior to that, I just didn't see him around. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't even know he existed until he started, you know, running around leading stuff and killing people.
Yeah. We didn't see a lot of what he was up to.
Right. Did he make a late entrance?
You know, I can't even remember. I don't remember when he first showed up.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen this weekend when we see... How many more episodes do we have? I don't know, but we're getting a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you know, like I said, every character has got something really powerful going on with them, something very interesting going on. And... The arcs are just beautiful, what they're doing. I mean, you can see the pending danger coming from multiple directions here.
It's ridiculous.
Pending danger and ill will, you know, just sort of floating around. It's like, oh, don't let that happen. Oh, that happened to him. Just, please, just as long as it's... Oh, I can't believe that happened. So,
well, yeah. I don't know if the Dothraki, if they do decide to invade, I don't know if they're going to make it because they don't wear jackets and stuff. they're like practically naked running around, and once like 60 degrees hit them, they're gonna be like, you know what, I don't know. I need to put on a coat.
It's a little chilly across the water. I say we go back.
So right now we have Khal Drogo pending death. We have Ed Stark headless. We don't know what Sansa, who is named after a MP3 player, what she's going to do. Caitlyn is in the middle of the war with Tyrion. And Jaime Lannister has been captured, right?
Right.
What are they doing at the wall? Oh, Jon is like he wants to go off and defend his dad's honor or whatever because he doesn't know what's going on. People tell him to stay his ass at the wall. Come on, anything else?
Daenerys Targaryen, did she just give birth? Did that happen, or did she? Remember, she went in the tent.
Oh, she went in the tent. She was screaming in the tent.
Right.
So we don't know what.
We
don't know what she's gonna have. She said it was a boy. Let's hope it is, because God bless her if it's not. Drogo. We don't know what's gonna happen with him. Hopefully, he's still alive. I don't know what Arya's gonna do. How she's gonna escape. Wow, we just have a lot of stuff just like, what is going to happen?
And of course, you know, probably at the season finale, the White Walker is just going to bust over the wall, just come pouring over the wall. So we'll know that the crap's going to be on for next season.
You know what? I buy that ending. Mm-hmm. I buy it. I believe it, because that's the type of stuff that happens on TV. I know they're going to do it. They're going to do it just like that. And we're going to be left with their mouths hanging open and flies, you know, flying around us like, oh, so that's not going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
We forgot to do feedback.
Oh, we got feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
This is Hal2814. I just listened to the last podcast.
Do you hear it?
Yep.
I like the Smallville finale, but like Carl said, the genius that he is, I wanted to see a big fight.
Did you hear that?
With Clark.
Yeah, he can keep that part.
Or LA and Legion of Doom. Maybe they should have brought Lex back like 3 episodes before the finale to build up to it. And I agree with you, Kat, believe it or not.
What?
That crap about just pushing the planet apocalypse away was crap. Just ask Stephen Hawking, no way a planet could just come that close to another planet without repercussions. They didn't even do that in the Superman cartoon.
Maybe his hair absorbed.
But all said and done, I'm in Smallville. I don't know what I'm going to do with my Friday nights now. I guess I'll have to take the wife out to a movie.
Yes, take her out, please.
So now that all those shows are canceled or ended, you guys, go ahead and start talking about Doctor Who, Game of Thrones.
Did it. Done.
I love that show. Yeah. Walking Dead, go ahead and spend that extra money and get some HBO car.
Hey, you got called out.
Oh, Carl, I like your profile pic. And Kat, you need to update yours.
Bite me.
Maybe you dress like Wonder Woman or something.
There you go.
Bite me.
I like that.
Bite me.
I can't wait for episode 100. And this is Hal2814, and I'm out.
You know what?
All right.
You know, how do you even come back from that? He loves everything. He thinks you're a genius, Carl. So I think you got a fan right there. No, yeah. I will not be putting on a Wonder Woman costume ever.
Kat, I'm telling you, you could rock a Wonder Woman outfit.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
embarrass you. Put that on.
You know what, Carl? That's very nice.
It would be the most exciting profile on here. I'm telling you, people would be hitting just to see it. They just want to see.
No.
Oh.
Anyway.
And
so yeah, Charles, we'll look forward to seeing you ripping your head off. I mean, hearing from you on the 100th episode live. Thanks for your feedback. We have some more feedback. We got feedback from the Fixtures Hideout on Twitter. So thank you guys. I am gonna go with Dan. And this is a message from our Battle : Los Angeles show. He liked our podcast. He's heard of me from the Geek Tragedy podcast. Great podcast, by the way. I've been on there several times, and he enjoyed what we did there. So he subscribed to our feed.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
What else do we have, Carl?
Let's see. We've got, I think Dana got in touch with us about the Smallville finale. She just wanted to clarify that Tess... You know, we were talking about whether, you know, Tess was like Lex or whether there was any redemption going on there just before she died.
Right.
And she says that when Lex stabbed her, he said that he was actually saving her, but she said, from what? And then he said, from turning into me. But her response was that it was too late, that Clark had already done that. And so she was affirming that she could have turned into Lex, but Clark had saved her. So she was just clarifying that. And you know,
yeah, that's cool. I think we eventually figured that out after we talked about it enough. But, yeah. You know, I don't know, Tess. I don't think she redeemed herself a lot. And I think after everything that she, you know, just could not turn back to the dark side after all that. So, I mean, what do you? Zara Ali sent me a Facebook message. Girl, it is long. But basically, she she listened to our Rapture podcast when we was talking about Vampire Diaries. And she pretty much kind of agreed with some of the things that we were saying. And she was also thinking that that Damon wanted to be a vampire for reasons that turned out to be fake. And then Stefan actually did make him realize he was a vampire. And then they both felt a sense of guilt. So, yeah, we'll see how that turns out for next season. And it's going to be interesting to see what those guys, those brothers do, and how evil Stefan and maybe a good Damon, a positive Damon might be. So thank you, Sarah.
All right.
And next.
Did we get something from Daryl Lockhart?
Yes.
He says, as I think back, I started watching No Ordinary Family because of Cat 2. And then he was asking if you'd updated on Glue or something.
Get Glue.
What? On
Get Glue? Glue. You know, where you say, I'm watching something from Get Glue. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. He said, but now he's all let down. So, yes, there is another satisfied customer, Cat. You got us both. Got us hooked on a series that was all good and funny and interesting, and that was doomed to be canceled. So,
you know, I detect a sense of blame there.
Hey, thanks, Kat.
When you're saying, because I think you should congratulate me, or you know, praise me for introducing you to something that was, you know, enhancing or enriching your life.
Only to be snatched away.
No. You love the experience for having it, had it. Not because it was taken away. You got to learn to love. You got to learn to accept the magic into your heart, Carl. Don't be bitter.
Thanks.
Don't be bitter. Yeah.
I feel better just thinking about it.
Thank you. That's great. My job here is done. That's great. So, you know, we'd still love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment, scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. We're on facebook.com/scifipartyline. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
All right. Bye.